श्रीमद् भगवद् गीता साधक संजीवनी चैप्टर 12 वर्स 3 एंड 4 लिंक इन द प्रीसीडिंग वर्स द लॉर्ड डिक्लेयर्ड द वर्शिपर्स ऑफ गॉड विद फॉर्म एंड एट्रीब्यूट्स टू बी द बेस्ट योगीज सो अ क्वेश्चन अराइजेस whether वर्शिपर्स ऑफ एट्रीब्यूटलेस एब्सोल्यूट ब्रह्मा आर नॉट द बेस्ट योगीज The Lord answers the question in the next two verses.
Yitva kshrama nirdesha ma vyaktam paryupasate sarvatra gamachintyam cha kutasthamachalam dhruvam संयम्येन्द्रिय ग्रामं सर्वत्र समबुद्धय ते प्राप्नुवन्ति मामेव सर्वभूतहितेरता
But those who worship the imperishable Akshara The undefinable, the unmanifest, the omnipresent, the incomprehensible, the unchanging, and the immobile, the constant, by restraining all the senses, being even-minded everywhere engrossed in the welfare of all beings, also come to me. The term tu, but, shows that worshippers of the formless Brahma are different from those who worship the Lord with form. Sanniyamye indriya gramam. Having given the term Sanniyamye with two prefixes, sam and ni, the Lord lays emphasis on full control over all senses. If they are not fully controlled, there is difficulty in the worship of attributeless absolute. The senses of devotees who worship the Lord with attributes are fixed on Him, and so there is not much need to controlling the senses. As for devotees who worship attributeless Brahma, such devotees have no base for thought. Without controlling the senses, can think of the objects of senses and thus can perish. Gita chapter 2 verse 62 and 63 Therefore, for devotees who worship the attributeless God, it is necessary to control not only the senses fully, but also the mind, because so long as there is attachment of the mind with the objects of the senses, the absolute Brahma cannot be attained. Gita chapter 15 verse 11 In the Gita, control over senses has been considered very essential. In the discipline of knowledge and action. There is no such stress in the discipline of devotion. Achintyam, the term stands for absolute, who is beyond the reach of the senses and the mind, because they being evolutes of Prakriti cannot know and think of Prakriti. Then how can they know and think of God, who transcends Prakriti, nature? God can be known only by the self. Sarvatra gam. God is all-pervading and limitless, so he cannot be attained by limited mind, intellect, and senses. Anirdeshyam. Anirdeshyam is that which cannot be defined through language or speech. Only that which is accompanied by caste, quality, action. And is confined through space, time, thing, and individual can be defined or hinted at. How can the all-pervading and sentient God be defined or hinted at by insentient language? Kutastham, this term stands for absolute, who while pervading all space, time, things, and individuals, remains unvitiated and uncontaminated. He always remains uniform and unaltered, without undergoing any change at all. On a kuta anvil, different instruments and ornaments, etc., are shaped, but it ever remains the same. Similarly, in spite of birth, existence, and destruction of different beings and objects, God pervading them remains the same. He is not affected by their birth, existence, and destruction. Achalam. Brahma is totally immovable and free from change, while Prakriti, nature, is movable. Dhruvam. The absolute who is certain and eternal is called Dhruva. Out of all the 8 adjectives used for him, this one is the most important. Otherwise, people may misunderstand whether he exists or not, as all the other adjectives are in the negative. He ever exists and never ceases to be in the least. The world seems to exist because of his existence or light. Aksharam, the absolute who is truth, consciousness and bliss solidified, is never destroyed. He is imperishable, he does not suffer any diminution. Avyaktam, he is unmanifested. He is incomprehensible to the mind and senses. And he is also devoid of any form of shape. Parupasate. The term here stands for real worship of devotees who worship the attributeless Brahma. Real worship consists in remaining established in God by identifying the self with him without any desire and egoistic notion. He who is denoted by these 8 adjectives is an imperfect form of Brahma, because Brahma is incomprehensible even to the intellect. But worship which is offered with these 8 adjectives is the worship of attributeless Brahma. And this worship results in the attainment of attributeless Brahma. He cannot be an object of intellect. Keeping in view these 8 adjectives of the absolute, the adoration made is called Parupasate. This is real worship of the Absolute, and it results in merging with the Absolute. An important fact. In order to explain the existence of God, 2 kinds of adjectives in the negative and in the positive have been given. The negative adjectives, imperishable, indefinable, unmanifest, unthinkable, immovable, unlimited, show that God is different from Prakriti, while the positive adjectives, such as omnipresent, uniform, eternal, and nouns truth, consciousness, and bliss, show the Lord's independent existence. Innate, inactive, absolute, beyond the states of activity and non-activity, is the illuminator of activity and non-activity. The different adjectives have been used so that the intellect may have a conception about him, and so it may reflect upon that absolute. In the Gita, the description of God and the soul is almost the same. The adjectives which have been used here for God have been used for the soul, and is as in the 24th and the 25th verse of the 2nd chapter, omnipresent, immovable, unmanifest, and unthinkable, etc. And in the 16th verse of the 15th chapter, unchangeable and imperishable have also been used for the soul. Similarly, in the 25th verse of the 7th chapter, the adjective imperishable has been used for God, while in the 5th verse of the 14th chapter, it has been used for the soul. Both God and the soul pervade everywhere. The whole world is pervaded by God, the Supreme Person. Gita chapter 8 verse 22 and chapter 18 verse 46. And all this world is pervaded by me. Gita chapter 9 verse 4. Similarly, in the 17th verse of the 2nd chapter, it is said about the soul also, all this is pervaded by the soul. As the sight of 2 eyes does not clash nor sound in spite of being widespread, do not conflict with the ears, so does according to the dualistic principle. The all-pervasiveness of God not strike against the all-pervasiveness of the soul, both being without form or shape. Sarva bhuta hite rata. In the discipline of action, renouncement of attachment, a sense of mind, desire and selfishness is very important. When a person uses objects such as the body, riches and property in rendering service to others without regarding them as his and for him, his attachment, a sense of mind, desire and selfishness are naturally renounced. When a body is used in rendering service to others, egoism is renounced. And when objects are used for others, a sense of mind is renounced. A striver following the discipline of action considers the objects in his possession as the objects of those people to whom he renders service. So it is indispensable for a karma yogi to remain engrossed in the welfare of all beings. But in this verse, as well as in the 25th verse of the 5th chapter, the Lord declares that the Jnana Yogis, followers of the discipline of knowledge, remain engrossed in the welfare of all beings. It proves that the path of action is necessary even in the path of knowledge in order to renounce affinity for actions totally. Here a point needs attention. The service rendered by the body, objects and actions is limited because all objects and actions are limited. But he who has a feeling for the welfare of all beings renders unlimited service because there is no limit of the feeling. Therefore, a striver should use the objects for the welfare of all beings by regarding these as theirs without attachment. Because of unlimited feeling, when a striver renounces his affinity for matter totally, he realizes the unlimited essence that is God. When a person regards objects as his own, he has an egoistic notion as well as unevenness of mind. But when he uses these for others, by regarding these as theirs, his egoistic feelings and unevenness of mind come to an end. On the other hand, a common person may use every object of his own in rendering service to his kith and kin. But because of his attachment and sense of mind for them, he cannot realize the limitless God. So in order to attain the limitless God, a striver should possess limitless feelings of the welfare of all beings. A striver following the discipline of knowledge, because of lack of dispassion, cannot renounce worldly objects by considering these as illusory, so long as he attaches importance to perishable objects. But a striver following the discipline of action can renounce these easily by using these in rendering service to others. The former can renounce objects only if he has a keen dispassion, while the latter can renounce these with a little dispassion because he uses them for the welfare of others. Thus, affinity for matter is renounced easily by being engrossed in the welfare of all beings, and the path of action is an easier one. Devotees who worship an attributeless absolute specially hold two views. Whatever appears in the form of insentient or the sentient, and moving or the unmoving, is soul or Brahma, the absolute. Whatever appears in perishable, transitory, and unreal, thus realizing the seen as unreal, and whatever remains is soul or Brahma. A striver following the path of knowledge cannot attain perfection merely by learning. All is Brahma, so long as he has attachment in his mind, that is, he possesses evil propensities such as desire, lust, and anger, etc. So like a karma yogi, it is necessary for him to remain engrossed in the welfare of all beings to attain perfection by renouncing attachment. Thus, those strivers who, having assumed the world as unreal, meditate on God in solitude, their physical renouncement of actions proves useless in their spiritual path. But by mere renunciation, they do not attain to perfection. Gita chapter 3 verse 4. For attaining perfection, dispassion for pleasure and detachment from the body, senses, mind and intellect are very essential. And for dispassion and detachment, they should remain engrossed in the welfare of all beings. When they lead a life of solitude, away from the world, they have an egoistic notion which can be removed by being engrossed in the welfare of all beings. A striver should not only be detached from the world, but also from the body, because the body is also part of the world. So long as he identifies himself with the body and remains attached to it, even by living in solitude, he cannot attain his aim. In order to efface egoism and attachment, he must be engrossed in the welfare of all beings. Also, it is not possible for a striver even to remain in solitude, because he has to come into contact with society for the maintenance of his body. Moreover, if he is not completely dispassionate because of his pride in dealing, he may be harsh, or so his egoistic notion does not come to an end. Therefore, he cannot achieve his aim. In order to get rid of this harshness, he should remain engrossed in the welfare of all beings. A striver following the discipline of knowledge may not render service on a large scale, but the Lord declares that he will attain him, as he is intent on the welfare of all beings. It is necessary for both the strivers, whether they worship God with attributes or God without attributes, to remain engrossed in the welfare of all beings. When a striver thinks that his own welfare is different from the welfare of all beings, it means he has egotist feelings, which is a stumbling block to God realization. When a striver performs all actions, eating, drinking, sleeping, etc., as well as chanting his name, meditation, study of the scriptures, etc., for the welfare of the world, his egoism comes to an end, and God's power, which is ever engaged in the welfare of all beings, supports him. Real service does not consist in offering objects and in bodily service, but in thinking of the welfare of all beings without any selfish motive or reward. One should serve them as he serves the limbs of his body, without expecting any fruit. As a common man without receiving any moral teachings serves his body very scrupulously, without being proud of the act, so does a God-realized soul remain engrossed in the welfare of all beings through the likeness of the self. Gita chapter 6 verse 32. Without having the least pride or egoism, a striver should ever follow the footsteps of such a God-realized soul scrupulously. Sarvatra samabuddhaya. Devotees who worship attributeless and formless Brahma have evenness of mind in all persons and objects, because they therein behold only him who is equally pervading in all of them. Gita chapter 5 verse 19. The Lord wants to explain that devotees following the path of knowledge, besides thinking of God in solitude, should also be even-minded in practical life. Secondly, in solitude, they cannot remain totally alone, because the body is also a part of the world. When a striver beholds the world and the body as one, he means that he is even-minded. But if he views the body and the world as separate, it is uneven-mindedness. Real solitude consists in beholding only God everywhere and in remaining established in Him. And having renounced egoism, attachment for the body, senses, mind, and intellect, etc., totally, such a striver is really even-minded. In the Gita, evenness of mind means beholding the same Lord pervading everywhere, rather than the same dealings with everyone. The Lord, in the 18th verse of the 5th chapter, mentions 5 beings in this regard: a learned and humble Brahman, a cow, an elephant, a dog, and a pariah. None can have the same dealings with all of them. The similar dealings are not possible. One should not resort to any such dealings. A striver beholds God in all of them. As in different ornaments made of gold, there is nothing but gold, so does a striver have equal vision as he beholds God everywhere. A liberated soul has equal vision as he beholds God everywhere. Such liberated souls are models for strivers. A striver has no equanimity because he accepts the existence of the worldly objects. When he ceases to accept their existence, he attains equanimity. A striver tries to behold God everywhere, while for God-realized souls, there's nothing but God. They are even-minded because they behold only God everywhere. This natural state of a realized soul is an ideal for strivers. They aim at it. In what proportion the independent existence of non-self the striver accepts, in that proportion they are not even-minded. The lesser the independent existence in their mind, the more even-minded they become. Strivers try to see the absolute everywhere, but the intellect of a God-realized soul is naturally influenced by the absolute. Te prapnuvanti mamevaha. The Lord declares that devotees who worship the attributeless God also attain Him. It means that He is in no way different from the attributeless Brahma. Gita chapter 9 verse 4 and 14 verse 27. He is both endowed with attributes and also attributeless. In these 2 verses, the Lord has mentioned 4 factors pertaining to worshippers of attributeless Brahma. The conception of attributeless absolute. 2. Condition of the striver. 3. The nature of worship. 4. What the striver attains. 1. In response to Arjun's question, which he puts in the second half of the first verse using 2 adjectives, imperishable and unmanifested, pertaining to the attributeless absolute, the Lord, in order to give a more detailed description, uses 5 adjectives in the negative: imperishable, indefinable, unmanifest, unthinkable, and immovable, and 3 in the positive: omnipresent, fixed, and eternal forms. 2. Such strivers behold the attributeless absolute everywhere, all the time, in all objects and persons, etc. It is on account of body consciousness and acceptance of the separate existence of worldly objects that is desire to enjoy sense objects, and thus sense objects are enjoyed. Strivers of the absolute do not regard any independent existence of anything except God. So they do not attach any importance to worldly pleasure and do not want to enjoy these, because for them, such pleasure have no separate existence. Such strivers, being even-minded, remain engrossed in the welfare of all creatures. 3. His worship is that he has a constant eye on attributeless absolute. 4. The Lord declares that those who worship attributeless God also attain Him. It means that God with attributes and God who is attributeless are one and the same. Appendix. Whatever the characteristics of Brahma, incomprehensible, changeless, immobile, imperishable, unmanifest, the Lord has mentioned here the same characteristics have been stated of the soul as incomprehensible, changeless, immovable, imperishable, unmanifest, etc. The purpose of stating the same characteristics is that the soul of Brahma, the Absolute, are the same in nature. If the soul assumes its affinity for the body, it becomes Jiva. But the same soul, having renounced its affinity for the body, is Brahma. The self having identification with the body is different from Brahma. Otherwise, it is Brahma. Therefore, having attained Brahma, the worshipper merges into the being of the worshipped. Te prapnuvanti mameva, God, whether he is saguna, with attributes, or nirguna, attributeless, is the same. Therefore, the devotees who worship attributeless Brahma also attain God. The Lord means to say that His attributeless and formless entity is not different from His entire form. Sarva bhuta hite rataha. The world, the soul, and God. From all the three points of views, all of us are one. It means that all the bodies are one as they are all within Apara Prakriti, lower nature, and all the souls are one as they are within Para Prakriti, higher nature. Therefore, when the striver becomes even-minded in all beings, Sarvatra Samabuddhayaha, and he looks on all as one, like his own body, Atmaupammina Sarvatra Samam Pashyati Yorjuna, then he develops the feeling of remaining engrossed in the welfare of all beings. The reason is that when he regards all the bodies as his own body, he neither thinks anyone evil, nor wishes anyone evil, nor does any evil. Thus, having renounced evil, welfare of others is naturally done by him. Not only this, but he even does not think of doing evil to the person who does him evil, because he regards all beings as his own. In the same way as if there is a sudden cut on the tongue with one's own teeth, done by being angry, but does not break one's own teeth. Uma sant ki kiye badai, mand kare jo kare bhalai. The service which is rendered to others by renouncing evil can't be done by offering the biggest charity and by performing the most virtuous actions. Therefore, renunciation of evil is the root of good. He who has renounced evil can be sarva bhuta hite ratha, engrossed in the welfare of others. End of chapter 12, verse 3 and 4. Narayan, Narayan, Narayan.